It's time for the Warrior of the Week from Vance Air Force Base, and this time we're going to be talking with a civilian from the base, Aaron Betts, who is the wildlife biologist at Vance. You're going to have to explain the title there. It's almost like it sounds like you run a zoo there on the base, but I know that's not what it is.
Yeah, not the case at all. I mean, there's a little bit of ecology involved with it, but in a basic sense, we just want to keep the pilot safe and maybe possibly keep some birds safe as well and just kind of prevent collisions in the air and on the runway.
Now, out here in the plains of Oklahoma, not airplanes, but the plains, the flat ground, with all the flying birds around, the geese and all of the stuff, how in the world do you keep the flight line as clear as possible?
You know, it is an impossibility to keep all of the infractions away, but
sure.
We do our best. We're probably going to have to start out with making the place as unattractive as possible. The Air Force and several other aerodromes throughout the state just have adopted a good grass height policy, you know, based on some studies to keep as few species disinterested or a few species interested in our place. And so there's that. There's standing water issues. There's noise making. You know, I'm basically a glorified noise maker. I got in a lot of trouble in school, Alan, by by talking too much and stuff like that. And just figured out a way to make a living at making noise, and it worked out all right.
You got into biology. I got into radio. We're kindred spirits in many ways.
In more ways than you know.
Yeah. So you're from Decatur, Arkansas, which is right across the line from Oklahoma and northwest Arkansas. So tell me about that. How did you live there until you came to Enid?
I didn't. You know, we moved around a little bit. My wife and I lived in Kansas for a little while. We lived in southern Oklahoma for a little while. And we did about a year and a half in Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah, the move to Enid was purely chasing a job.
Sure.
I got to be honest. I didn't have any interest in being here just based on terrain. You know,
right.
We were discussing earlier. It's flat, you know. Yeah. It's flat compared to the Ozarks that I grew up in, and it's definitely not the Colorado Rockies for sure. And
yeah,
I just knew I would hate it, but you know, a guy's got to eat, and I needed a job.
Well, and on the flip side, I get it because when you're talking about the Ozarks, the thing I can't stand about the Ozarks is the trees and the hills.
Indeed.
And you can't see the sunsets or the sunrises until it's already like 3 hours after the sun came up.
Correct.
Depending on what side of the hill you're on, so I get it. I get it. But on the flip side, for both of us, I got to tell you, there's a beauty to those Ozark Mountains and the Colorado Rockies, for that matter, that are second to none. And I'm sure you found that out about the plains as well.
Yeah, for sure. The point of all that is just to say I've just never been more wrong about a location ever. We fell in love with it. All of our children are born here. And if I get my way, I don't want to tell God his business, but if I do get my way, I would like to get old and fat and die here because I just love it. It's a good place to be.
Me too. That's awesome. So when you're not chasing off the birds from Vance Air Force Base, what do you like to do in the spare time?
Oh, man. You know, back to, you know, living somewhere, whether you want to be there or whether you have to be there, and being wrong about a place. This place really checks all the boxes for me when it comes to things that I want to do occupationally, recreationally, and spiritually. I get to do that all here. I really, really do love it here.
Awesome.
It's a great place to raise kids, too.
Excellent. And I was going to ask you about the air base at the Salt Plains, Kegelman. Do you deal with that one, or is that
Indeed.
Some other person's job?
Yeah, so by schedule, I'll go up there twice a week.
Okay.
I usually try to do Tuesdays and Thursdays. But there's always special needs that come up, and I'll run up there and take care of those as they arise. But everything is so seasonal.
Yeah.
For example, here at Vance, we just finished – you know, our wintertime goose migration apocalypse type season.
Yeah.
And so I'm always glad when March rolls around, I can kind of take a sigh of relief.
Okay. Because the point is, at the Salt Plains National Wildlife Refuge, there's geese, there are eagles, there are whooping cranes, there are pelicans, then you got the little birds.
Indeed.
So I'm like, oh my gosh. All right.
Indeed. Yeah. They all get addressed in different ways and all in different seasons.
Yeah.
And especially as you mentioned, the little birds, you know, as you know, we just finished a prescribed burn to help with some of the ground nesting species that we deal with. And it's just a lot of fun. There's always something.
I know eagles are different, so I'll leave the eagles and the huge birds out. But what height do the geese, about what height do they top out at?
You know, most of those are going to stay under 1,000, which is great. A lot of these species, they, you know, they got to breathe air just like
sure.
us. So they don't want to get up too high where it's too hard to breathe. Yeah. But when they are migrating long distances, they do take advantage of some pretty good winds, and they get to some great heights to do that. So it's pretty there's a direct correlation with the altitude and number of bird strikes. We definitely hit more closer to the ground.
I was going to say, unfortunately, the worst part's the takeoff and the landing. That they really got to watch out for the birds when they're coming down. But the unfortunate thing is we have, like, what, third largest amount of sorties in the United States per day or something like that. It's crazy the amount of flights that come out of Maine.
They just really train the guys well, and they get a bunch of them through. But fortunately, man, we have a lot of help. We will send actual bird remains from an airplane to the Smithsonian to get identified. And that helps us with, you know, what we're hitting, where we're hitting them, and altitude is a big part of that.
Pretty
I think
cool.
one of the biggest anomalies were that I heard from the Smithsonian was they received a high altitude strike from a white-tailed deer in December, so here it is. They've got all these children listening, at Christmas time, and we've got a deer strike in December, and. They didn't really know what had happened, but it was in Florida. And what had happened was, there was some roadkill, down there that some of the vultures had eaten, and went quite a thermal sore after eating and got hit.
Yeah,
and it was just that
that's
deer
bizarre.
Contents that, that got sent to the Smithsonian.
Wow. So that's crazy.
So yeah, there for a minute we thought we hit Santa Claus, but
no, it was a different
not
deer.
Not to fear, we're all good.
All right. Aaron Betts, I appreciate you, man. It's always interesting to meet somebody that's on the ground doing the services behind the scenes at Vance Air Force Base, and now everybody knows who the Birdman is.
Yes,
that's
bird
cool.
Brain indeed.
All right, Aaron, appreciate you, man.
Thank
good
you.
Good to meet you.
Thank you.